Call My Church now. It's like giving yourself a lie detector test.
Given the nature of all this new shit, you know, this could be a lot more complex. I mean, it's not just, it might not be just such a simple, you know?
Call 844-5-CRUSADE. The Mike Church Show, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
I agree. It's a no-brainer that we should have the right to marry. But I also think equally that it's a no-brainer that the institution of marriage should not exist. So that causes my brain some trouble. And part of it, why it causes me trouble, is because fighting for gay marriage generally involves lying about what we're going to do with marriage when we get there. You know, because we lie that the institution of marriage is not going to change. And that is a lie. The institution of marriage is going to change, and it should change. And again, I don't think it should exist. I don't like taking part in creating fictions about my life. That's sort of not what I had in mind when I came out 30 years ago. You know, I have three kids who have five parents, more or less. And I don't see why they shouldn't have five parents legally. I don't see why we should choose two of those parents and make them into a sanctioned couple. And because between those five parents, we have two groups with two different citizenships.
You might need to take us through that. You might need to take us through that because we're getting a bit confused.
It would take
a
long time. No, I have.
You got married in Massachusetts.
I got married in Massachusetts to my partner, who is Russian, my ex-partner, and by that time we had two kids, one of whom was adopted and one of whom I gave birth to. We broke up a couple of years after that, and a couple of years after that, I met my new partner. And she has just had a baby, and that baby's biological father is my brother, my daughter's biological father is a man who lives in Russia, and my adopted son also considers him his father. So the five parents break down into two groups of three, who have two different citizenships. And really, I would like to live in a legal system that is capable of reflecting that reality. And I don't think that's compatible with the institution of marriage.
Okay. Why not have seven parents? Wait a minute. Since we can't distinguish between men and women anymore, what difference does it make? Hey, folks, Mike Church here with you. It's the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network on a Monday. The show is live, as it always is, weekday mornings, 8 to 11 a.m. Central, 9 to noon Eastern, right here at veritasradionetwork.com on our apps for the iPhone, for the Android, and for the Windows phone. You find us at mikechurch.com. And on the YouTube, we have the video channel. Find the Crusade channel. Have our video feed right there. You can if YouTube's the only way you can get the audio, because your employer has firewalled everything else out. Well, then so be it. The YouTube is on every day. Now, I play that clip from time to time just as a reminder to you people that you not forget what it is that the LGBTQ, RSTLNNE, brought to you by iCarly's Jr., what it is that they're up to. And at least Masha Gessen, that's who you just heard, a radical, at least Gessen is honest about it. No institution of marriage should exist. And we're going to have these warped, perverted families out there where we're going to have incest, quasi-incest, is going to be legalized. But let's worry about bathrooms, shall we? And bathroom accommodation, and about men mutilating themselves. I mean, folks, the age we live in is almost not describable to sane, rational men and women. But one that does try to describe it is Denise McAllister, D.C. McAllister, as she is known. And she is a writer at TheFederalist.com and also at, what is this other blog, Conservative Daily? Is that where I got this Sports Illustrated story from?
Conservative Review.
Conservative Review. And many other, and several other publications. By the way, happy belated Mother's Day to you.
Well, thank you.
And I don't know, should I, Bruce Jenner, did he get Mother's Day yesterday or does he have to wait till Father's Day?
I think he still has his children call him Dad. I think that's the official line.
Now, you just heard, I don't know if you've ever heard the Masha Gessen clip, and that is from a conference in Sydney, Australia in 2014, LGBTQ marriage symposium of sorts. I didn't have to alter or doctor that clip whatsoever, but it does shine the light of day upon what the agenda is and what's really going on here. I don't think, though, and you're correct about Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner, whatever she wishes to call it. So you're correct about all these points, and we're going to get into them. But I don't. My point of view on this is that. People like Miss Gessen there, they mean this stuff. She means that your marriage and my marriage are going to be made invalid, DC.
Well, they want to redefine what family is, and ultimately that means that children are disassociated from actual parents, and when it comes to authority structures, that means removing the family as a protective mechanism between the state and the individual. And this is ultimately what the goal of the leftists is to have the state be in control of the individual. So it's really a statist agenda and not even an LGBT agenda.
I don't think that the irony here, and we're going to talk about Bruce Jenner here, or Caitlyn Jenner, is I don't think that he would agree with her. As radical as he is, I don't think that isn't he a Trump supporter?
He was a Cruz supporter, but I don't know if he may agree with her because his conservatism is economic conservatism. He's about, you know, having jobs, free markets, capitalism, but as far as social issues, very liberal.
Why would Sports Illustrated believe that men, you must consider that the readership of Sports Illustrated has to be predominantly male. Why would Sports Illustrated believe that their male readers would want to see Bruce Jenner nude?
Because it's the politically correct thing to do. They're advancing an agenda of tolerance and acceptance of this community. And so they're more about getting approval from a specific agenda than they are actually giving their readers what they want. And who knows, maybe Sports Illustrated, there's a lot of liberals in sports media, and they think that this is what people want and this is what people will celebrate. They may not like it visually, but it's like, hey, you know, but we're such good people for recognizing and being tolerant of such a thing.
A source told Us Weekly that Jenner will be featured on the cover of the magazine this summer wearing, quote, nothing but an American flag and his Olympic medal, close quote. D.C. McAllister, I'll wait until you all grab a vomit bag.
Well, I don't really understand because I didn't know that Sports Illustrated did nudes. So I'm thinking that it wouldn't be full frontal. There would probably be some kind of nudity where you're not seeing everything because I don't think that they've gone quite Playboy on us yet. But maybe they are in this issue. But either way, however that he's going to pose, it's going to be just the American flag on the lower regions, I'm assuming, and then the rest, we can see the fake boot job and all that with the medal hanging around his neck.
Oh, good, great.
So it's to celebrate, you know, the fact that we're honoring his transition into this fake womanhood and that we are such a tolerant, wonderful society for accepting such a thing, and we're somehow enlightened and progressive humans by doing this.
Well, their definition of enlightened and progressive are different from my definition and your definition of enlightened and progressive. And by the way, Playboy doesn't even do Playboy anymore. They got over it.
No, there's too much porn on the internet.
That's
put them out of business.
That's right.
And if you want to seek fake boobs, just go on the internet and look at it all you want. But again, it's not even about the nudity. It's not about that. It's about, once again, needing the mindset of the American people with this kind of corruption and deviancy and making it normal.
Well, it's not that. And what's intriguing about the way you presented this is people are allegedly in tune with, oh, well, you know, he's trans. It's a she now, Mike. And you just need to conform your mind to that reality. No, every chromosome in that man's body is screaming, dude. I don't care how many mutilations the plastic surgeons visit upon him. But your point, I believe, is the signal point here. And no one wants to broach this because I don't think that there's any way to approach it other than the way that you have. And that is, it is just positively not natural and preposterous that a man can ever become a woman because men and women are different. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You're made different. All the mutilations on Earth are not going to change that. Why don't you explain that part of your argument, please?
Well, what's interesting, and this is where actually the transgender agenda runs right up against the actual liberal feminist agenda, or just the feminist agenda in general, in that it very much materializes and objectifies what women are, because it reduces women to the most material state. So I'm a woman because I have breasts, I'm a woman because I wear fingernail polish, and I dress a certain way, I do my hair, and I have makeup. And that somehow makes me a woman. And you know, and part of that, of course, in the celebrity culture is not only does that mean that you need to celebrate my womanhood, but me, I need to be nude about it. I need to take it that next level, I need to express my sexuality in a visual way, and nudity and sexuality and freedom and all that is part of being a woman, which is offensive to women because we are so much more than just those traits. I mean, to become a woman, you have to grow up as a woman. You grow from a girl and you transition. Our transitioning is real. We transition from being a little girl to being a woman, and that's not something a man who's transitioning can ever do.
That's
they
right.
never have grown up as a little girl who's learned how to overcome her weaknesses compared to men, physically speaking. You know, going through having a period, having our bodies develop, you know, we don't go and get fake boobs. We actually have to grow them and go through the humiliated stages of developing our breasts through junior high and middle school and some even high school. And so this is a process that's coming into womanhood, and it's not something that can be artificially created. And it's all part of our feminine psyche. It's all part of us as women and understanding our own femininity in light of men. And it makes us respect masculinity as well as our own femininity. And it's deeper than just our skin, and it's deeper than just our breasts, and it's deeper in our experience as women. And to have a transgender persons like Bruce Jenner come in and claim the mantle of womanhood just because he has fake breasts and that he can display them on the cover of Sports Illustrated, that somehow that's feminine, I think it reduces what it means to be a woman. And I, as a woman, don't appreciate it, and feminists don't appreciate it, and even liberal feminists don't appreciate it.
Why don't you tell me what you really think?
Well, don't pretend to be a woman. I mean, and yes, it does distract from what a real woman is. So now people look at that and go, well, I'm a woman because I'm doing this. And not only that, I'm being sexually immoral by spreading my sexuality on the pages for everyone to see. Oh, that really? That's what it means to be a woman? So for me, DC McAllister, for me to be a real woman, I need to go bare my breasts somewhere. You know, does that make me a real woman? You know, I need to be concerned about my dress and how my hair is and my makeup and shopping. That makes me a woman. No, that is not what makes me. Well, that sets back, actually, women. That's regressive. That's not progressive.
Well, as you said, even liberal women are going like, wait a minute. All right, this is just a bridge too far. Hey, by the way, folks, Denise McAllister is with us. This as an essay we were discussing here about Bruce Jenner. Notice I refuse to use the term Caitlin. So I'm going to keep calling him Bruce because it is, regardless of the mutilations. Caitlyn Jenner's nude SI cover is an offense to women everywhere is the title. It is posted in today's pile of prep, and you can read it there. One of the things that I hear you so adamantly and strongly convey is that there are biological and mental things that those that are born with feminine parts and those that are born with male parts, but those that are born with feminine parts must go through in order to graduate from, because you're born, you're a baby, you go through grammar school, then you go through puberty, and as you say, you know, it's embarrassing, it's humiliating, you don't know what to do, and why is this happening to me? All these things are all part of a life experience, and if God didn't want it that way, Denise, then he would have made you born, we'd be born out of cocoons as adults. So obviously there is a sensitizing and a learning process that contributes to our ability to rationalize things that is part of this process. And as you point out, there's no way that Bruce Jenner or any transgender person could possibly go through this. So, again, it just defies the nature of, and I love talking about nature, the nature of what a woman is. Now, the Department of Education is claiming today the authority, and they're going to have to go to federal court now and defend it because your governor, I don't know if you know this, 10 minutes ago just filed a lawsuit against the Obama administration and the Education Department. They're not going to implement Obama's edict. They're going to fight it, and they just left the federal court building 10-15 minutes ago, just posted on the wire. The Education Department, Denise, is actually part of the letter. I don't know if you saw it that the Education Department sent to Governor McCrory, said that they have rewritten, not going to, they have rewritten Title IX and removed gender references. The governor's response is, well, you can't do that. Only Congress can do that. But this has now reached official Washington, hasn't it?
This is so offensive, what's going on with North Carolina. It's astounding, and I want people to know what's going on. Basically, our federal government is threatening to take away funding for college, university, and lower-level high school, all public funding, all billions of dollars, $4.3 billion, I think, that goes into North Carolina to help educate our young people here. So the federal government, Barack Obama's administration, Loretta Lynch at the DOJ, is saying, unless you let men into women's bathrooms, we are going to take away all this funding for your children to get their educations. That means the Pell Grants, all of these kind of things, federal funding for kids to go to universities that they're reliant on to go to college next year. The federal government is threatening to remove that, to put your kids' education out the window, all because they want some dude to be in the girls' bathroom. Okay, that is what is happening. This is not about discrimination. No one is being discriminated against. Our discrimination laws and the Civil Rights Act was written in 1964. You cannot discriminate on the basis of sex. There are only two genders. There are only two sexes. There is male and female. Males can go into the male's bathroom, and females can go in the female bathroom. They both have equal access to a toilet in the public sphere. This isn't even about private businesses. This is all about the public sphere.
That's right.
So the Obama administration is threatening to take away our education for our kids so that they can put in public bathrooms, not private bathrooms, because private businesses can do what they want, which is something that was protected by the North Carolina law, by the way, because the Charlotte ordinance that this is in response to wanted to dictate to businesses and tell businesses what they could and could not do with their own bathrooms. North Carolina came in and said, businesses are private, and they can do what they want with their own bathrooms. And by the way, the public bathrooms that we do have control of, like locker rooms in schools, those people, those areas, you need to be in your own bathroom according to your sex. That's all that's going on in North Carolina. And that Charlotte ordinance also told places like YMCA, you need to open up your changing rooms to anyone, basically. You know, if someone identifies as a man or as a woman, they can go in whatever bathroom they want. They don't even need to be dressed like a woman. It can just be some guy who says, you know, I feel like a woman, I want to go into the woman's changing room. So we're talking about locker rooms here, not just restrooms with stalls. Let me make one more point about the restrooms.
Sure.
Some people are like, well, just the restrooms. What's the problem? Like Megyn Kelly on Fox News the other night was like, you know, we have stalls. No one sees us. Well, I'm sorry. Women do change in the bathrooms. I see them. I've done it myself. But also, public restrooms, which are most common along the freeways and highways,
right,
are also one of the top places where sexual predators hang out.
Wow.
So, you know, reducing the number even down to just that conversation, yeah, and those happen to be the very places that more sexual predators hang out than anywhere else, and yet you want to free that up even more. Thank you, but no thank you. And they want, the left wants to put our girls at risk, to take away their privacy and their security, and all that. If we don't do that, if we don't put women at risk, then all of our children get to have their public funding taken away for education. Thank you, Barack Obama. Thank you for your discrimination against our school children.
Well, here is an instance where if there actually were conservatives in the House of Representatives, they should intervene right now, and they should say, tell the Obama administration, hey, pal, we get to alter Title IX, not you. We can amend it. All you can do is execute it. Nothing in Title IX. I saw the Speaker of your House was on CNN this morning. He was being browbeaten by Chris Cuomo. And he basically told Chris Cuomo, dude, you don't know what you're talking about. Title IX was written in 1972 specifically for gender separation to make sure that our daughters, our young women, have equal access to federal funding for sporting accommodations, and for other educational things. It specified gender. It had to. By definition, Title IX specifies gender. What Obama has said and what the Loretta Lynch has said is that, no, there is no gender. We took it out. Well, what your Speaker of your House said and what your governor just did courageously is to say, no, and I'm reading the suit now, no, only Congress can alter this. So if Congress wants to intervene, Congress can actually say, you know, Paul Ryan can act all conservative and conservative if he'd like to. And he can say, we got a funding bill coming up. We're going to attach a resolution to it that is going to say that the Title IX, the distinctions between men and women and girls and boys in Title IX is distinct and must be preserved.
Well, and the whole focus of Title IX for the sex discrimination was very specific about who women are. And it's like you can't discriminate a woman, for example, when she gets pregnant. So it's very much talking about women with uteruses, you know, women with ovaries, real women, even those who've had them cut out. So I don't want to hear that from the LGBT community. So, I mean, we're talking about women. And there's only two sexes, male and female, and you can't discriminate against either one. And no one is being discriminated against in North Carolina. And just because you imagine yourself to be a woman, that somehow that makes you a woman, and that if we don't kowtow to your mental illness, that somehow we're discriminating against you. When you have a bathroom that you have equal access to right there in front of your nose, so go to it. And yet, because of your agenda, because of your selfishness and your narcissism, you want to take away funding from our children to get an education. We're talking about kids who are going to university next year who can't afford to go unless they have that federal funding. Now, you can turn around and say, well, that's Pat McCrory that's standing in the way. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's the LGBT community who doesn't give a rat's butt about children, which is... From marriage to adoption to this kind of stuff, they do not care about children. Let me repeat, the LGBT community does not care about children. They care about their own agenda, period. And the Barack Obama does not care about children. They care only about the liberal agenda and the statism that's attached to it. And North Carolina had better make a stand. And I agree with people who say, hey, if you want to continue to do it, let's keep all of our federal taxes.
All of it.
Do not give any money to the federal government.
Fine.
Send it to the kids. Use that money to send the kids to school.
I'm with you, sister. By the way, this is why I love her, because she speaks her mind with clarity. I'd like to see you and Megyn Kelly in one of those MTV wrestling matches. I think that would be hysterical. Let me offer take this in another direction here, but it's a similar direction, and that's this. So what the governor of North Carolina also said on Friday, governor, and by the way, I don't know if you know this, but I worked in Charlotte. I worked at 1110 WBT. So
I go on WBT quite a bit with Keith Larson. Great show.
I know Keith Larson.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
So I've been in that studio that you go into. So
I love that studio. I love radio.
I know. I met and was very cordial with Mayor McCrory at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I knew him, and my remark was, dude, you are a politician. if anyone was, if somebody woke up and said, draw me a picture of a politician, I'd say draw Pat McCrory. Now, that's not a knock. I mean, they're politicians. That's fine.
He's a businessman politician.
He is a businessman.
He's very much business-oriented.
He very much is.
It is good for North Carolina.
But he said something on Friday that takes the hammer out and hits the proverbial 16-penny D nail on the head, and that's this. This is not just about North Carolina. If the Carolinas, the Tar Heelers, if they cave, if he falls like an accordion on this, it is going to then be invoked against all other 49 states. That's going to happen immediately. That's what the end result of this will be. So the Obama administration was just waiting to harangue and then harass and then extort someone. It just happened to be North Carolina. So this comes down to what I think is what I've been saying for years. This comes down to, ultimately, this is a constitutional question. This is a constitutional crisis is what's going to result. I do not expect that at the same court that can hold that Obergefell is some kind of a right that's derived from the 14th Amendment, that same thinking is going to produce the same result, that the fundamental right to have access to whatever bathroom you wish and to determine your gender by an act of the stroke of a pen or whatever is going to be upheld. If Anthony Kennedy gets the final vote, and it could be a 4-4 split, but I doubt it, it'll be a 5-3 slam dunk here. My question is, and this is what I tell my listeners every day, I want to hear your answer. What are we going to, and I asked a caller this early, and after you answer, I'll tell you what he said. What are we going to do as dads, fathers, me, you, mothers, when Anthony Kennedy ultimately says McCrory is wrong and Obama is right? D.C. McAllister, what say you?
You mean as far as what are you going to do when your girls want to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, no, I mean, what are we going to do legally? Because once they do this, then it's going to become part of the law, and every law in every institution is going to have to conform to it, including the private ones.
Well, if it's in the laws, there's not much you can do. You know, you have to comply with the law. This is the problem. This is when we're ruled by the men in black, that we are living in complete oppression.
Yep.
A totalitarian from the courts. But there's so many different levels here that are wrong. You have executive overreach, the executive branch creating and codifying laws instead of just simply enforcing laws that have been legislated, you know, by Congress. So you have that violation. You also have the federal government violating federalism and telling a state what to do in a way that it should not be able to do.
That's right.
So it's violating that. And then also, you know, and then throwing it all to the courts without even legislation going through and Congress making laws and having the court itself become judicial fiat, you know, and being activists in that way and making laws that we have to comply with. I mean, think about it. You have an executive branch that is over the DOJ that's involved in this, first of all, that level. When you are enforcing and making the laws at the same time, that's tyranny. You know, I can change them. I mean, I'll change the law however I want as president, you know, as the executive branch, DOJ, to fit whatever my will is. And
that's
it can
right.
change tomorrow, and then I can enforce it. This is, and then to have the Supreme Court back that up. I mean, people, listen to me. You're losing your freedom. All in the name of you want being afraid of not appearing to be tolerant. And this is how this agenda is promoted. And this is why you have 6 in 10 people in America saying that they oppose North Carolina and what they're doing.
That's right, because they're spineless, yellow-bellied cowards.
Well, they don't. Well, I think there's a couple of things going on. First of all, there's rampant ignorance. And I mean that you don't know. I don't mean you're stupid. I mean people who think that North Carolina is wrong here, you don't know what you're talking about because you probably don't know the facts. You probably don't know that Charlotte overreached its authority and instituted laws contrary to its the laws given to it by the state of North Carolina's constitution.
That's right.
So it overreached its boundaries. And you probably don't understand the kind of dictatorial imposition on businesses and privacy that was going on
with the
Charlotte Ordinance that North Carolina was protecting people from. So, you know, you probably don't know a lot that's going on here. So I would say get educated about it. Number two, even if you are educated, you know it, and you still think that LGBT should get their way here, North Carolina is so wrong. I think that's rooted a lot in just this kind of in-group mindset mindset and that you don't want to be in the out group. You know, I want to be in the group that's not looked upon as being criticized. You're not the bad guys. You want to be with the good guy group. And, you know, it's going to take some strength of will on the part of the American people to be able to step out of the group of your friends, of your society, and be the scapegoat, kind of, and be on the out group and have people think you're bad and racist and bigoted when you're all you're doing is standing for truth. That's going to take some strength.
Yep.
And
fortitude.
Yeah, fortitude and being able to know what's true. But you know what, Mike? The problem, the underlying and undergirding problem of all of this, there's one thing.
What's that?
When you abandon objective truth and moral absolutes,
that's right,
this is what you get.
That's right.
Okay, so if we are not going to get back to that as a society, we are going to live in moral chaos.
Well, we already do live in moral chaos. When I send you a headline this morning that says, "How Porn Brought My Mom and Me Together," it's over.
Well, and what you notice from that story, you know, what was sad about that story?
It was tragically sad.
Well, aside from just the porn part, you know, just having a mother embrace the daughter's porn style, and that can be a whole another story about personal relationships that we don't even know that's going on. But what I noticed from that story was that her moral standard was her mother's feminism. Feminism,
I got that.
You know, what was approved or not approved by feminism? You know, would feminism allow for my porn to be acceptable? And, you know, this is, again, whenever we set up all these subjective standards, you know, LGBT, that's the moral code. That's the moral standard. Whatever the LGBT agenda is now our moral code, or whatever feminism is our moral code, or whatever the Democratic Party is our moral code, or populism, and whatever the mob wants is our moral code. So we have all these subjective, independent moral codes that are all vying for power.
That's right. Well, there can only be one. It's like the Highlander movie. There can only be one. And there can only be one objective truth. And that's why it is an objective truth. Of course, it's an object and it's true. The problem is, or the difficulty comes in when we have detached ourselves from the truth. When we talk about women, and when you write about women, and when I think of my daughters, and when I think of my wife and my mother, and when I think about femininity and the nature of woman, my thought process goes something like this. You can be no higher distinction, no higher title earned ever, and maybe not even earned, just divinely directed ever, than actually being chosen to bear the Son of God. It doesn't get any higher. There's nothing any woman will ever do that can ever top that. Nothing. Now, when we see Mother Mary, when we see Immaculate Mary, she doesn't appear in a bikini. I've never heard of a Mary sighting anything other than beautiful flowing gowns, usually white, with a blue veil. We don't even know what hair color she has. But yet there is a beauty there. It doesn't get any, my point is, it doesn't get any higher or better than that. If women were aspiring, if that's the model and that's as good as it gets, kind of like the Roman hero, you know, the Greco-Roman gladiatorial general type hero for masculine men is a model, I think that's mistaken. I try. There's a book out there that's written. It's called My Imitation of Christ. I try to read from at least every a sentence, a paragraph or two every day. You can't pick better models than that, Denise. But in our fallen world, we have chosen it. No, I want to imitate the girl on the cover of Cosmo. We tell our children, no, you want to be like the baseball player. You want to be like the football player. And that's fine to desire vocations. Don't get me wrong. But we have our models all out of whack here. You're going to get screwed up people. You're going to get screwed up results. So that's the order that has to be that's the order, and that's the virtue that you can point to that is the capital T, capital O, objective, capital T, truth that I think Denise McAllister just spoke of here on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade Channel.
Well, yeah, I mean, even as a Protestant, I'm a Protestant. So, I mean, I believe in the divine feminine, and there's masculinity and femininity.
Sure.
And, you know, from the very beginning, God said one of the most foundational parts of our humanity is that we were made male and female.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of our identity. It's part of our ontology. And when we do reject that there's even ability to know, or that there is even the existence of these kind of objective realities in life, as much as we, you know, have epistemological questions about how we know these things and the discussions that come from that. But when it comes to actually having a recognition that there are these objective standards about who we are, even our very being, when that goes out the door and we just start creating our own realities, you know, it's really a self-worship. It's a self-ideology, you know,
yep.
Idolatry, in that I am my own God, that I am the definer of my own existence, that I am the definer of truth. You know, we have, 5 billion people on this planet?
Yep.
Okay, so everyone's like their own little God, their own little definer of truth,
sure.
And then they group together. Well, how do we function in a society like that when you completely reject the idea that there is any kind of objective knowing that we can come together and figure out? When you think it's totally inward and subjective, all you're going to have is war. You're going to have chaos because you're going to have the jungle mentality of fighting for yourself and for your own agenda. And however it's defined, it can be different groups doing it in different ways, but what the ultimate result is you're fighting about it, and it's about whoever has the most power. This is why they're all statist. That's why we ultimately, when we reject moral absolutes and objective truth, statism is what is the result, because you need a power strong enough to enforce your subjective will.
Well, Chesterton, and this is our Veritas et Sapientia quote of the day, our truth and wisdom quote of the day, G.K. Chesterton, great philosopher, came here to the United States. He made it one. I believe he made one visit. There's a small piece of footage that you can watch on YouTube, actually, of Chesterton being awarded some kind of, you know how they get these ceremonial doctorates at universities, something like that. Anyways, he kind of did an English version of the Tocqueville,
yeah.
And he wrote about it, and I started reading it this morning. I was intrigued about it. I said, well, I wonder what Chesterton did he write about America, and he did. And what he wrote about being in England and hearing and reading about it and actually going and visiting here and seeing it up close and personal, that the United States and the people of the United States had developed a creed. Now, you mentioned that you were that you're a Protestant. I would invite you to channel something when you write about these things. It's not me telling you, all right, little Denise, I'm smarter than you. Let me tell you, this is just something that has helped me. There was a series of conventions that were convened, and they took place, in Baltimore, in Maryland, in 1870, 71, 72, and 73. And they wrote reports. It's called the National Reform Alliance. It was a group of Protestants that were mortified and horrified at the carnage of Lincoln's war, and that their countrymen were actually capable of this. And so they met in convention to discuss what they thought was wrong and then to propose a solution. Their solution was to amend the Constitution. And their proposed amendment, which you can read, never made it out of a committee in Congress. And what they basically said was, we got the order wrong. We, the people, cannot be the source of authority. And when we are, this is what we get. So we have to get the order correct, and then we can get the Constitution. Anyways, if you read the proceedings of the convention, and you can find them on books.google.com, that's where I read them at. I print out the chapters that I want to read. There are some speeches in there where this day, D.C., is predicted. It's predicted in 1870, 71, 72, 73. I don't think, though, with the detail that it was predicted, but those Protestants recognized, and they were troubled by this, that Americans had adopted basically, we're Americans. We can pretty much do whatever we want. We can be our own bishops and our own priests and our own popes, and we can make our own rules. And if we don't like it, we can change them. And we don't answer to anyone other than us. And the NRA was mortified by this, and they begged their countrymen to change course, and we didn't. We did not. And thus, you and I are having this conversation in 2016.
Well, we could probably have a whole different conversation about that because, the balance of power and separation of powers, which is the solution to and the hold on the check on too much individuality, is something that was recognized by our founders. Because our founders is definitely a fusion between Christianity, Judeo-Christian ethics, and the Enlightenment. And they certainly weren't bent on instituting any kind of, I don't want to say religious creed, because they weren't. It was more about, what is the function of government? The function of government is simply to protect your rights, and but people are wicked and evil, and so you have to balance out power because you don't want them to have power. And then there's so many different levels to the American society. That's why I really think de Tocqueville's the best one to read when it comes to really understanding the development of the American democracy and how to maintain it.
Oh, it's a good read, yep.
Because he was really strong on, he guarded against too much individuality. He said, if you have too much individuality, then you're going to have anarchy eventually. And so he said the checks on that, of course, is the civil society, the home. And this is why the attack on the family is so bad, because it's one of the biggest checks on individuality, gone awry. And so the family, then the church, within the civil society, those need to be functioning well. And then, and when it comes to government, government needs to be fully federalistic. It needs to have balance of powers. It needs to have separation of powers. And the states need to be free in their own sovereign way from the control of federal government. So through these different layers of balancing power, you protect the rights of the individual. And, so it's all of that has, we've not only lost so much of the core function of the civil society, but we've also tipped a balance of power within the government. And so we're really at odds here and really threatened. But I think that fundamental cultural, philosophical, religious foundations in the civil society have been lost.
Totally.
The breakdown of the family and the breakdown of the church, that was what was necessary. And to me, it's not so much that our system as developed by our founders was wrong, because I would have to probably disagree a little bit with the people in Boston. I think our system is fine. I think, but as de Tocqueville said, is that for that system to function, you have to have a strong moral civil society. And if you don't have a strong moral civil society, you will have, that system will only be able to hold it in check for so long.
All right, Denise McAllister, hey, gave me, I asked for 10 minutes, I got 35. So... I would just say in parting, thank you. Thanks for your time. And as always, I would say that the I would define the role and the purpose of government not to secure our rights, but to secure our rights to our duties, because our duties, you can't have rights without duties. So my duty is to live as our Lord told us to and the teaching that he left us. That's my duty. I have a duty to Almighty God. Government is there to see to it that I have the right to carry out that duty. That's where I think our rights come from. You know what? You and I can have that conversation on another day.
Yeah, it would be very different. I mean, the Protestant view of that, I'm a little more libertarian along those lines, but definitely, more actually, I wouldn't use the word libertarian, classical liberal, definitely more, that Protestant view and understanding of how Thomas Jefferson is definitely more my guy. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely those nuances, and different views of how government, is it to promote virtue or is it simply to protect rights? These kind of different conversations. But one thing about those conversations is even if you, as you have them about government, you need to ask which level of government are we talking about? Because, townships, local governments have different functions than even federal government. So, I mean, there's different layers in your expectation of involvement in what government's
Well, Jefferson doing. Said that he disagreed with Madison, basically, and he said that in letters that he was writing in 1816 and 17 and so, he said he doubted that Republican government, federalism, could function outside the scale of a New England township. That's his words, New England township. Mm-hmm. And that to him, when it got any larger than that, there was trouble brewing.
Because it was so tied to that civil society. And that's one thing we have to keep in mind is the bigger, and that's why the answer to him was, that's why we have separation of powers and all these balances
sure.
and checks and everything. It's very complicated for a reason. We have gridlock for a reason. We have, all these different layers and it's slowed down and difficult for a reason, and that's one of them. Jefferson was right. It's very difficult to maintain, freedom within the government and these kind of balance of power outside of the small local community, and also if it's devoid from a strong civil society.
Well, I love gridlock. I wish we had permanent gridlock so they couldn't do any more damage. But we're going to have to leave it there. D.C. McAllister, everybody, are you writing about, are you going to write about Mayor McCrory and North Carolina's struggle?
No, I've been writing, and then we have someone else today at the Federalist who's really explained something, the details of it well. So if you want to go to thefederalist.com, there's a post there about the bathroom law and what's going on with the DOJ. So it's really detailed, so that's great. But I've written two or three articles already in the past, and it's ongoing.
I think we'll just take a transcript from what you from our conversation today, and you can just publish that. That's pretty good stuff. All right, D.C., Denise, thank you for your time.
Oh, dear. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And everybody, that's D.C. McAllister, Denise McAllister. You can read her at thefederalist.com and at the Conservative Review. This is, next up here is, where am I going, Christopher? Derek's in Las Vegas. Next up on the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Hello, Derek, how you doing?
Hello, Mike, good morning. Listen, I had to call because I was listening to Ms. McAllister. I tell you, we could use a thousand more like her. She's so great, she's so assertive, and she's so to the point the way she speaks, and I love when you have her on, because I mean, we need more women like that. You know, I live in Las Vegas, Nevada, and
we need more men like that.
Yeah, well, you could say
how about funny. Some men that will stand up and not be a bunch of panty-waist, yellow-bellied cowards telling goofball pollsters that seen, oh, I disagree with North Carolina. Like she said, I want to be on the winning team. You're not on the winning team when you're on the sin team, ma'am, sir.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, I live in Las Vegas, Nevada, and, man, driving around this town, which I live way out on the outskirts of town, way north, and I try never to go, you know, down towards the Strip or any of that kind of thing, because the billboards that you can see down there are just, I'm amazed by it still today, even though I've lived here for 20 years.
Right.
The amount of just, I could describe one to you that I saw the other day. I mean, it's kind of vulgar, but I won't have to really use any curse words if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
I'm driving down the road. I'm coming home from work, and they have these big billboards that, they're not permanent. They're like LED lit to where they change. They can say whatever they want, right? I'm driving down the road, and I look up, and on this big billboard, it's a giant advertisement for vaginal tightening surgery.
Oh, I've seen it. Seen it.
Yeah.
I didn't see it in Vegas, but I saw it. Where did I see it? I even remarked, I went, I do not believe I just saw that. Yes.
Yeah. I thought that was something that you could only see in Las Vegas just because of the nature of the town. So I'm kind of surprised that you've seen it where you live, but I guess it's an epidemic now. So it's just, I'm no prude, but I was in shock. I was like, I can't believe that they, you know, can put that up. It's just bizarre.
Well, you shouldn't be surprised. No one should be surprised at the shocking, because it's not shocking anymore. The shocking, that's, again, that is immodesty on display there. And again, you know, where are the real feminists? If there are any feminists left, where'd they go? Because this basically says that the female, that the woman is, that her worth, and her importance is directly related to the nether region, just like in that horrifically pornographic, sinister commercial for the shaving razor that has the three young girls walking up to the little bonsai trees to trim them. And of course, the bonsai trees appear. And somebody said, yeah, Mike, but you saw it on Bravo. It's not on regular TV. Oh, no, boy, howdy, sister. It's on NBC. I was scrolling through Blacklist last night, watching the latest episode of The Blacklist, and there it was. So don't tell me it's not on regular television. We should not be surprised at this. Now, the response to this, though, We have a group of very, very, very reverent, very devout men that are part of our Latin Mass society here in... Oh, there he goes again. Catholicism to the rescue. Well, no. It could, yes, but no, that's not the point. We have a group of very devout and reverent men, humble. And we have little meetings after Mass. We all sit down and say hi to Father, and then we talk about the latest, and then the latest outrage. And my brother, David Simpson, said something yesterday about an internecine issue that's going on, that he basically has resigned himself to this and then to what's going on in North Carolina, because they're going to try to shove that down our throat here, that there is no more, there's no more bridge, or there's no more room to moderate or accommodate. As a matter of fact, land or ground that has been surrendered, Derek, must be reconquered. So there's no more room. No, you're not coming in here, and no, you're not making me take my men and women's bathroom sign down, and no, you're not going to get, the boys are not going to be showering with the girls in this school. No, the answer is no, and you can't make us do it. And if they want to, if they wish to begin a shooting war over bathrooms, I mean, just conceive for just a moment just how unbelievable that sounds. That it's not about human dignity or states' rights or anything of that sort. It is now about a government believing that it has gone so powerful and it is so full of itself that it can actually change biological definitions or obliterate biological definitions. Now,
you can't write this stuff.
Well, you can't. You couldn't write it in a novel because no one would believe it. It would have to be a dystopian novel that would have as its end, a bunch of teenage girls coming to our rescue. Well, I have news for you, gentlemen. The teenagers from the the teenage girl from the Divergent movie is not coming to save you. Katniss Harkness is not coming to save you. Our teenage daughters are not going to bail us out. This is a problem that has been brought on by lukewarm masculinity, nay, men that deny their masculinity and have denied that they should always pursue virtue in all things. So,
you know, Mike, I believe I'm about the same age as you are. I'm 53 years old. And even 20 years ago or 25 years ago when I was, you know, 30 or so, I would have never believed that what's going on now in the public sphere was even possible. You know, it would have been science fiction. I would have laughed at somebody if they would have told me, like you said, that the federal government is willing to go to the mat against states over bathroom gender issues. It just seems bizarre. It's like science fiction.
But it's not fiction. It's not fiction. It's happening. Okay. Here's another place where we need the church and we need the authority to step up to the plate. And it's just tragic and unfortunate that it's not, because what is at stake here? Derek, what is at stake here? We tend to think of things in the material world. We tend to the police song, we're just spirits in a material, in a material, we're spirits in a material world. We tend to think of things as they have effect upon us here. Well, what is the ultimate purpose or the result? What results upon what, what comes about as a result of our participation in this miserable material life of ours? It is a yay, a thumbs up, or a thumbs down, or a status quo on a judgment. If you believe that you have a soul, and you do, and you believe that the soul is what animates your body and gives us life, because it is, and it does. Even the ancient Greeks knew this. long before Christ came. If you know this, you know this to be true, and then you believe in the divinity or in the incarnate wisdom and what he said, that soul will ultimately be judged. And, you know, this is the experience of all the Old and the New Testament. That's what it tells us. Then we have to bear in mind that everything that we do here in this world and in this material realm contributes to what that judgment is ultimately going to be. Is God going to say, when you're judged, when any of us are judged, is he going to say that, oh, you were nice and you bought a puppy and yeah, come on in? That's not what it says. It says quite the opposite there. This is what we are really devoid of. This is why Christian ethics are necessary to our behavior. And if we practiced ethical Christian behavior, then we would not have today, we would not have these excesses and these vulgarities of immodesty all around us, because we would know that we would be posing a threat to other people's souls. Derek, I'm talking Greek right now. I guarantee the live listener numbers just plummeted. Few people wish to conform their mind to this reality. The girl that's running around, that's showing all the décolletage, in the crease of in between her breasts, is not doing any favor to 17-year-old boys. The 17-year-old girl is going on field trips with short pants that are so short that when she sits down, every boy that's on the field trip is staring at her crotch, is not doing any favors for those boys. She's not doing herself any favors either, but she's not doing them any. She's certainly not loving them. But isn't it just ironic? She wants to love them. Love meaning the physical, actual act of carnality. We have all this backwards, Derek. No one teaches this anymore, or few people teach this anymore. And if you're not going to conform your mind to that reality, well, then, you know, just deal with what Obama and his buddies want to do. And just shut up and take it. Shut up and take it.
Well, Mike, thanks to you and listening to your radio program, you've opened my eyes to think about these things. I guess I never really, I was never, like you say, catechized. I was never told these things by anybody. So I do appreciate you talking about it. It has changed my outlook on things quite a bit in the last year or so.
It's changed my outlook.
Pardon me?
I said it's changed my outlook.
Yeah, I know. I've been listening to you for a long time, and I've kind of been there listening through your transition, and I respect your integrity and what you've done, and you have...
I'm trying, Derek. I don't get it right every day. I know I don't.
Well, none of us do. We can aspire to it.
Well, I appreciate it, brother. Thank you very much for the phone call. I really appreciate that. Let me give you guys an update here on what's going on here. So today is the 9th. That means tomorrow is the 10th, and Wednesday is the 11th. On the 11th, we will celebrate one half year of existence here on the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. On that day is the last day that I'm going to plead for a couple of events, things to happen or to occur that will alter the course of how we go forward here on the channel. Now, my goal for this, my dream has always been, well, number one, to do the will of God. And if I'm not doing that, it would be evidence by you, or possibly evidence by you not participating in this, but you are. But my goal and my purpose in doing this is to provide a countermeasure to the, quite frankly, sinful and disgusting version or a product package is what we call talk radio that is available today. It is devoid of a pursuit of the truth. It is devoid of a pursuit using and chant or running that pursuit of good quality, entertaining, maybe even informative, maybe even at some levels, ecclesiastically influenced broadcasting. That's what we're trying to do here every day, and it's expensive to do it. So we've asked you to go to the crowdfunding page, and many of you have. We've asked you to become Founders Pass members or to upgrade to Founding Brother level. Many of you have. You know, we've asked you to attempt a little harder to listen live, and some of you have. The numbers actually are growing. We started so small, but in 6 months, I can tell you, and I'll give you a full report on Thursday, that the numbers are growing. Folks, a caller said this on Friday. Let me just remind you of something that's going on here on this channel, especially on this show, and I believe when Mark Kreslin's on. By the way, folks, pray for Mark. Mark was not here today because he's having he's having some health problems. I don't want to say heart problems. He's just going for some tests. But our beloved morning host is dealing with some health issues, and he's got a bum knee to begin with. So he wasn't here this morning because he had to. He's dealing with that today. So pray for Mark Kreslin, please. But folks, it is requisite. Father Bozant said this yesterday in his sermon, didn't he, Maggie O'Connell? Didn't he, Christopher? Father Bozant said that it is requisite, it is now required on us because we live in a dark time that we have to be little pinpricks of light. You have got to, you and I have got to, it is incumbent upon us now to live as, from my instance, as Catholic in everything that I do. I can't go along with my friends telling dirty jokes, and I got to say, hey, come on, dude, really? Can't go along with the way of the world and with the LGBTQ. Oh, come on, Mike. Let Mr. Church, please, just let live and let live. I can't go along with the way that my daughters dress sometimes. Every time I see them, I remind them, modesty, modesty, modesty. And you've got to think of the way boys are looking at you and stop dressing this way. Even if I failed, even if they don't do it, I have to do it. Folks, it's up to us. Stop believing that Mordor and the Potomac River or that Baton Rouge, Louisiana, or that a town council is going to fix this. They're not. If you are repulsed by, if you are outraged and incensed by the level of diabolical activity that is all around us today, and it seems that the world, that our friends and our neighbors, they participate in it. The craven attitude towards the Holy Mass these days that our Catholic friends show and some of our Protestant friends show towards weekly church attendance. Although since I don't go to one, I can't say for sure, but I can say that it's probably similar to what we experience in church. And that is, Mass is just kind of optional. Who said that? It's called a holy day of obligation, for heaven's sake. That's what a Sunday Mass is. And yet, we have many, many of our brothers and sisters that run around and call themselves Catholic. I go on Easter. I go on an important day. They go on Easter and All Saints Day and Christmas and, the days, please, the days when I have to go when it's convenient for me. Folks, my friend and your friend, Steve Cunningham, who hosts the Sermon Sundays here on the Crusade Channel, says this. He's got it right. If it's going wrong, if it's messed up inside the church, it's going to be messed up outside. Because what goes on in there influences what happens out here. We are all a part of that. When our reverence towards divine teaching, revealed truth, when our reverence towards it is callous, and then we bring that, when the clergy brings that to bear in the houses, when the churches start looking like Frank Lloyd Wright designed them instead of John the Evangelist, when we lose the beauty that is attached, when we're willing to build these square heaven or bastardized monstrosities that we call churches, There's one down the street from here. It's a Catholic church. That is an abomination. It is. To look at it, it's an abomination. I look at it and go like, what is that? Chase the beauty out. We're trying to chase, the Beelzebub is trying to chase the beauty out of the world, and too many of us are helping. You want to know what's wrong, and you want to do something about it, that's what's wrong, and that's what needs to have something done about it. So when you hear me saying, well, you know, I could deal with this and I could deal with that, but, you know, you droning on endlessly about this Catholic stuff here, you don't understand. I don't think I have a say-so in the matter any longer. I don't have a choice. My conformity of my mind to reality says I don't have a choice. I have been called. And as long as I have this skill that he has blessed me with, that's what I have to use it for. Now, I can talk about entertainment, I can talk about politics, but I better talk about them, and I better have my ethics correct. So, if you want to assist, go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com. We'll know in the next 2 days whether or not we have to make serious adjustments here. VeritasRadioNetwork.com. Click on the Veritas tab at the top of any page, and then click SOS. Easy to remember, simple as I can make it. Or just go to the Veritas page and just let the top of the page scroll. And when you get to the picture of I Love Lucy, click that. There's a video there to tell you how to buy a gift membership for a friend that's not listening to the Crusade Channel. Maybe they should. If you click on the dog, Doug the Pug, with the bowl hanging out of his mouth that's empty, that'll take you to the SOS page. Tell you all about becoming an affiliate. Tell you all about becoming a member. Tell you all about the crowdfunding. Tell you all about the recurring donations. Tell you all about the prayers. It's all there on the SOS page. So I thank all of you that have contributed so mightily and have just put forth so tremendous and charitable of an effort here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But we're not out of the woods yet. So VeritasRadioNetwork.com. Click on the Veritas tab and then go to SOS. All right, we'll take our final time out. Folks, I haven't even scratched the surface. I think I can do another hour here because I've got so much more to talk about. So when we come back, I'm going to get into this Chesterton on America. All right, you got to hear this. This will put some of what I just said into perspective, hopefully. Please write me my address and send your testimonials along for the website if you have one or consider becoming an advertiser. KingDude, KingDude, at MikeChurch.com. This is the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be.